Some other religions are formed around a teaching. Some other religions are formed around a set of disciplines. Christianity is formed around a person.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you joined us as today we continue our message, God With Us. It's part of our series, Heart of the Gospel. And Colin, after what we just heard, that reminder that Christianity itself is formed around a person, there may be some wondering, so are you saying that teaching and spiritual disciplines really aren't all that important?
No, they're certainly important, but Christ is the foundation. And spiritual disciplines and ethics that are built without the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's a house that's built on sand. And when the storm comes, and ultimately when the judgment of God comes, that house collapses. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to what the foundation is. And there's no such thing as Christianity without Jesus Christ. And there's no such thing as a Christian life without Jesus Christ. It's a mistake a lot of people make. You know, they read the Sermon on the Mount and they say, oh, this is marvelous teaching. We must just adopt this ethic, as if you could somehow abstract that from Jesus Christ. You can't. Christianity is the life of Jesus Christ in a person. Mm-hmm. And that's going to produce an ethic. It's going to produce a life of prayer. But it's the life of Jesus in us that's the thing that's at the foundation.
Well, our message is entitled, God in Us. Let's begin. Here's Pastor Colin.
I hope that you will have your Bible open at Colossians in chapter 1. It is such an extraordinary statement that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul almost seems to be taking a run at this statement. There's a kind of build-up that comes to it. Look at it in verse 25. He begins by telling us that he is a servant of the church and that he's been commissioned by God to present the Word of God in all its fullness. Now he goes on to explain that the Word of God in all its fullness is a mystery. And by mystery, he means something that could not have been known unless it had been revealed. That's the meaning of the word mystery in the New Testament. It's not so much something you can't understand, though it may contain something of that meaning also, but its primary meaning is something that you would not have known, you couldn't have guessed, unless God had revealed it. And so he tells us that this mystery, this fullness of the gospel, has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but it's now been disclosed to the saints. That's a way of describing every Christian believer. What was hidden throughout the ages is now made known to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And Paul is now building up the anticipation of what this is that has been disclosed. To them, verse 27, that's to the saints, to men and women who've come to faith in Jesus Christ, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, he now says, the vast diversity of all the cultures of the world, the riches of this mystery. And you kind of take a breath and you say, Paul, will you please just tell us what it is? Because we've had a marvelous build-up for this. What is this thing that nobody could have guessed, but now has been revealed to the saints, but all of God's people across every culture and every generation? Just tell us. And here it is in seven magnificent words, Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you had read the Old Testament before the time of Christ, you would have known that God had promised to send a deliverer, that God had promised that the deliverer would bring the presence and the blessing of God to his people. You would have known about the Messiah. You would have known that God was for his people. You would have known that he brought them out of Egypt, he brought them through the Red Sea, gave them the land of Canaan. God was for his people. You would have known that God was with his people, a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud, and so forth. But what Paul is saying is from the Old Testament, you would never have guessed or anticipated this great truth, this mystery that has now been revealed, that in Jesus Christ, God comes to be in his people. This is staggering. To use a phrase from A.W. Tozer, he talks about how a man or a woman becomes the dwelling place of God. Staggering. So not only is God for you in Jesus Christ, but in Jesus Christ, God is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, now, what I want us to do this morning is simply to explore this marvelous, marvelous statement and to do so with the prayer that by God's grace it will really get massaged into our minds and our hearts so that it becomes part of our thinking and part of our being. I want, therefore, simply to divide it up into its four parts, seven magnificent words, Christ, then Christ in you, Christ in you being the hope, and Christ in you being the hope of glory. And let's ask that the Lord would bring these seven words and all that they contain in full reality into our experience. First then, Christ in you. Christ in you. Now, those of you who know your Bibles well will know that this is quite an unusual statement in the New Testament, because when Paul speaks about the presence of God in the life of a believer, he usually speaks of that being by the Holy Spirit. He usually speaks of the Holy Spirit living within us. Here he talks about Christ living within us. And the question, of course, that's obvious is, well, now why does he say Christ is the hope of glory rather than saying that the Holy Spirit in us is the hope of glory? And here we come back to this marvelous mystery. Remember, something that you wouldn't know unless it had been revealed, of the Trinity, that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the three persons, one God, the relationship and the distinction and the union of these three persons of the Trinity, one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith. And perhaps we can express it in two statements. The first is this, that all of God is in the Holy Spirit. All that is in God is in the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and verse 17. He said, "You know the Holy Spirit because he is with you and in you." That's John 14, 17. The Holy Spirit is in you. But no sooner had Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit is in you," but he said, "I will come to you." And no sooner had he said, "I will come to you," but he went on to say in John 14, 23, "My Father and I, we will come to him and make our home with him." So you see what he's saying? When the Holy Spirit of God lives in the life of a believer, thereby Christ is present in the life of the believer, and not just Christ, the Son of God, but the Father and the Son, Jesus says, live in the life of the believer by the Holy Spirit. We will come and make our home with him, John 14 and verse 23. So you see, when we're told about the Holy Spirit coming to live in the life of a believer, we're not talking about some kind of fragment of God or a little subset of God, as it were. It is the presence of Almighty God that comes to the life of a Christian believer. Mind-blowing as that is, it is the reality revealed in the Scripture, the mystery that Paul is talking about, where the Holy Spirit is present, Christ is present. Where Christ is present, all of the fullness of God is present. God comes to the life of a Christian believer.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called God in Us, part of our series, The Heart of the Gospel. We're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. While I have a second, I want to remind you that Open the Bible is on this station because of your generosity. And as we approach the end of this year, being just a day or two away now, I want to ask you to consider a generous year-end gift, because as we finish this year strong, that allows us to be poised to do some incredible things next year.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Steve. You know, looking back, I'm just so thankful to God for his blessing on the ministry in this last year. And I couldn't be more excited about what's lying ahead, God willing, in the new year. I mean, we are working on translations of Open the Bible material into multiple languages. We have the opportunity of putting Open the Bible for Leaders online, an increasing menu of training modules that are going to help ground people in the Scripture. And perhaps most important of all, to keep this program on your station, We depend on your help. And so if you're able to send us a gift this year, and we would be so grateful to you and would view that as an answer to prayer and as a gift from the Lord. Thank you for standing with this ministry, and may the Lord continue to bless you.
Well, you can give your gift right now by coming to our website. It is openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. And today is the last weekday of this year, tomorrow being the final day of the year. If you want to make that year-end gift, I want to encourage you to do so today. Again, our phone number is 877-OPEN-365, and our website is openthebible.org. Well, let's get back to our message. If you joined us late, we're in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1 as we continue God in us. Here is Pastor Colin.
So here is this amazing miracle that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, by faith, the life of God comes within you. And not only is it true to say that all of God is in the Holy Spirit, it is also true to say that all of God is in Jesus Christ. And you notice that Paul makes that statement very clearly in Colossians 2 and verse 9. And it is very important. In writing this letter, there were a number of false teachers who were causing trouble for the church at Colossae. And Paul speaks about this in chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, make sure you don't get taken in by hollow philosophy. There's a great deal of speculation as to what that was all about. But essentially, the false teachings, whatever they were specifically, were moving Jesus Christ away from the center of the action. The false teachers were saying, oh, you believe in Jesus? Oh, that's great. But of course, there's more to living the Christian life than that. And then they brought in other spiritual experiences or other spiritual disciplines. And they said, well, now this is what you really need. We know you've got Jesus, but the real question is, have you got what we're talking about? And so the whole glory and centrality of Jesus was moved to the side. And what the false teachers were bringing to the table became the central issue in living a successful Christian life. Now, Paul answers that by saying in chapter 2 and verse 9, if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything that God offers you in him. In Christ 2:9, all of the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in him. Literally, you are complete in him. So this is the first thing that I want us to grasp, because all of the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. I want us to grasp that it is Christ who is the hope of glory. Now, that's very important because some other religions are formed around a teaching. Some other religions are formed around a set of disciplines. Christianity is formed around a person. Our faith is about the person who was born into the world that first Christmas. It is about what he is able to do for every person who will come to him. Now, let me try and illustrate for you the personal nature of what Jesus Christ does for us this way. I want you to imagine that you're suffering from a very rare disease, and it baffles many doctors. And one day you find that there is a physician in California who has treated your condition. So you fly to California, you make your way to his surgery, and when you arrive, the receptionist says, oh, I'm terribly sorry, he's out of the office. Well, you say, I've traveled all the way from the Midwest, so I'm just going to wait until he gets back. Oh, you don't need to do that, says the receptionist. His assistant is here. He'll see you. Look, you say, I traveled all the way from Chicago to see this specialist. I don't want to see any assistant. I want to see the man. All right, she says, you can wait. Well, 3 hours later, you're still waiting. You're twiddling your thumbs. You've got nothing to do. And so the receptionist comes in. She says, look, I hate to see you waiting like this. Do you realize that there's a whole shelf of books that have been written by the doctor that you want to see? They're right here. He's written a lot about your condition, actually. You could read some of it. It might be very helpful to you. Oh, you say, thank you very much. So you get these books down, you begin to read, you find some things about your condition there in the books, right enough. You don't understand all of it, but some of it seems very fascinating to you. But you're not there to read a book. You're there to see a person. Later in the day, again, the receptionist comes in to see you. Look, I'm really sorry, she says, you're having such a long wait. But here's some good news. There are some people I'd like you to meet. And she introduces a small group of people who have all suffered from the same condition as you. And she's gathered them to the surgery. She says, I thought you'd like to meet these people. They can tell you their story. All of them are much better since they've been treated by the doctor. I think it would be tremendous encouragement for you to hear their stories and find out what he's done for them. Well, they're delightful people, and after all these hours of sitting on your own, you're very pleased to have some company. They very quickly become good friends, and they tell you now about how healthy they are and all the exercises they're able to do. One man says, you know, I could hardly walk, but now I'm climbing mountains and someone else is swimming in rivers, and you think, this is marvellous. There really is hope for a cure. But at the end of the day, you still haven't seen the doctor. The following day, you fly back home, and someone asks you how the trip went. Oh, you say, it was marvellous. I've discovered that there really is hope for my condition. And more than that, I've read all about it in a book. And I've met people who have recovered and are doing extremely well, and these people are an inspiration. In fact, I think they're going to be my friends for life. Well, says your friend, what did the doctor do for you? Oh, you say, well, I didn't actually see the doctor. Now listen, it's possible to hang around a doctor's surgery all day and not see the doctor, right? It's possible to hang around church world and never come to Jesus Christ. See, this happens all the time. People become aware of a spiritual need in their mind and in their lives, and they're drawn to church. They think, no, this is the place where I'm going to find the answer. So they come to church and they get hold of a book written by Christ. And they begin to study it, and they don't understand it all, but they find some things that are helpful. And then they meet some wonderful people who have been touched by Christ. And the wonderful people tell you about their experiences and how their lives have been different. And this is wonderfully encouraging to you. And they become your friends and you get into a small group with them. And 10 years later, you've still not come to Christ. And you're still suffering from the same condition. You've got different friends. You've read different books. But your condition is the same because you've never come to the physician to do surgery on your soul. Now listen. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not church in you. It's not the Bible in you. It's not Christian friends in you. It's not a good life. It's not giving. It's not being a spiritual person. It's not getting involved in a ministry. It's not following a religion sincerely by your own choice. It is Christ. Christ. And the heart of Christianity is not about what you can do for him. It is about what he can do for you. That is why Christians have such joy over Christmas. You see, no Christ, no glory. The fact that Christ has come into the world is our hope of glory. Christ. But notice, secondly, not just Christ. Christ in you. Christ in you. You see, a relationship is being formed and spoken of here, a relationship between Christ and you. Coming together of these two, a joining of them. You see, when Christ came into the world, the Bible tells us he came to his own and his own received him not. Now, there's no glory for those who do not receive him. The hope is in him, but the hope becomes ours as we are brought into relationship to him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, this involves the bringing together of two things so completely and utterly different that it is staggering to even begin to think about it. It hardly seems possible. I mean, Christ in some great saintly person, that's one thing. But Christ in you? Christ in you? Preachers sometimes try to illustrate this by talking about if the spirit of some great artist could be in you, then you could draw a great painting. Or if the spirit of Michael Jordan were in you, you could shoot some free throws and so forth and so on. I'm going to risk a more daring illustration today. I want you to imagine the spirit of Mick Jagger living in me. Now, for anyone who's missed the last 40 years of cultural history, Mick Jagger is the lead singer of the Rolling Stones. He's not exactly the best role model, but I've chosen him because he is quite different from me. In fact, that qualifies as the understatement of the year. In fact, Mick Jagger is so different from me that the idea of the spirit of Mick Jagger living in me is utterly incongruous and would rightly make you laugh. Now, this makes us laugh because it involves bringing together two things so totally different that the very concept seems incongruous and laughable. Now, here is something even more astonishing. That the Spirit of God should live in you. I mean, Mick Jagger's just Mick Jagger. But the Spirit of God, this bringing together of these extremities, an extraordinary miracle. No wonder Paul says this is a mystery. No one could ever have guessed this or imagined it. It is the reality that God has now revealed in Jesus Christ to the generations and cultures. It is this amazing miracle of God.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called God in Us, part of a larger series called The Heart of the Gospel. And the gospel is what we want to share each and every day on this radio program, helping you understand the truth of God's Word and what it means to be in a relationship with Him. If you appreciate that kind of Bible teaching each day, I want to ask you to consider a gift of support. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. You can find out more about giving a year-end gift by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. You know, Colin, it's really refreshing to hear you talk candidly about Christian hope, about what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah, and to get to the heart that hope is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, the illustration we used in the message really is a powerful one. It's possible to be a person who comes to church, but for you not to have Christ in your life. It's like going to the doctor's office and not seeing the doctor. And it's possible to listen to Christian radio, to listen to Bible teaching online, and not to have Christ in your life, not to have a living relationship with Him. You don't want to be in that position. You want to be a person who has Christ and who has a real relationship with Him by faith.
So what then do you say to the person who maybe that light bulb just went on in their mind? They're like, I thought I was a Christian, but after what I've heard today, I recognize I'm not.
Yeah, well, I would encourage you today to come to Jesus Christ and tell Him how much you need Him. You can do that right now. You can tell Him that you see now that you need Him, that what you need isn't religion, it isn't the church, it isn't a radio program. You need Jesus Christ. Come and tell Him that. Tell Him that you need Him because you're a sinner. Tell Him that you need Him because you don't have the power to live the life that He's calling you to live unless He gives that power to you. And then ask Him. Ask Him to embrace you with mercy and grace to be your Savior. Ask Him to give you the life and the power of His Holy Spirit so that you can begin to move and to live in a different kind of way. And I give you this promise from the Bible, from the lips of Jesus Himself. He says, if you will come to Him, He will never turn you away. And so you come to Him with faith and with confidence because He's the Savior that you need.
Colin, thank you for the reminder of that truth. And if you still have questions about what it means to come to Jesus, you can always contact us. We've got a contact button at the website, openthebible.org, or even better, call and talk to one of our staff members. Our toll-free number is 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, for Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What's it like when the Spirit of God comes to live in you? Find out next time on Open the Bible.